Mary, you began as a furniture designer, but then moved to becoming an artist. Tell about that journey.
Well, I went to college to get my undergraduate degree, and I was always interested in art, but in the end, I wanted to come out of my undergraduate degree with the ability to support myself. So I majored in industrial design so that I could get a job. And that worked out very well for me. And I worked in the furniture industry for about 12 years or so. At some point, the need to make art became stronger than the need to have financial security.
Although I see a relationship between furniture and the verge of interior design, was there any kind of a relation there? Do you feel like there was?
I feel like maybe I should ask you that question.
When you put a room together and you think about where that piece of furniture is going to go, plus when you design furniture, you what, choose colors and prints, or how does that work?
Well, definitely my background in design, in particular, I designed systems furniture where there were parts and pieces that went together to make different kinds of arrangements.
I see.
So I was definitely, in my job, I was trained to work in parts and pieces. And so the ability to, like, put the pieces all together.
Well, there you go.
Definitely did translate into multiple block prints.
That art hunger is getting bigger and bigger. Was that a hard leap for you to leave that job and freelance?
It wasn't really a hard leap to leave the corporation. It just felt like the right thing to do.
Okay.
Really, it was more based on my emotional needs rather than security, financial security. A lot of people thought I was nuts.
And then I was looking at your website. Then you go to Tokyo and you learn from a Japanese artist. I'd love to hear more about that.
Well, I left the corporation to become a landscape artist. I was really focused on the landscape as my subject matter. And my relationship with the landscape was the most important thing to me. So I started drawing and painting. I did a little bit of printmaking, and I did teach myself. I took one class, and then I took it a little further, woodblock printmaking. And then it wasn't until after I moved to Kalamazoo, after I got married, that I started working towards my MFA in printmaking here at WMU. And it was at Western that I had the opportunity to go to Tokyo and study.
A fellowship, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was all a part of my Master of Fine Arts program here at Western.
And obviously that had a big influence on you, because it sounds like that was the same type of print block making as you're doing now?
Yeah, I was. So I went to Japan in 1998 as part of my master's degree program here at Western. And that was the major turning point in my artistic career. Mm-hmm. And it's such a difficult thing to learn, let alone master, that you have to be dedicated to it to even produce anything.
Yeah.
And so I've been dedicated to it, and I keep on learning, and my work keeps growing, so I'm still doing it.
Well, an art of any form, I think, is a lifelong pursuit.
Right.
You never reach excellence, you just keep striving for it. So it's interesting, though, because there aren't that many woodblock print artists out there, at least to my knowledge, that as there are painters, say. Why did you choose that over, say, painting the landscape?
Anybody and their brother could be a painter, and I do love painting. I just thought that woodblock printmaking would be different, and because I was coming at this, you know, being dedicated to an art form later in my career, I was already in my mid to late 30s, I needed to stand out. So I chose something that was a little more unusual. And the other thing is that when you work in multiples, like printmaking, any kind of printmaking, you can get your work out there in more places at once, you know, because they're...
That's true, yeah.
They're done in multiples.
Those of us who may not be so familiar with this type of art, talk us through the process. How does it begin?
Well, the most important thing is to have an idea. And my ideas are landscape-driven. I rely heavily on the basic elements and principles of a design. So the composition and the color and the line and pattern, all that really matters to me. And so I focus a lot on the design and the story that I'm going to tell about the image once it gets completed. So the upfront, the time I spent upfront is probably, it's hard for me not to say it's most important, but I kind of think it is. You know, the idea is important. And then there's a method of transferring a design onto a wood block and having the colors all be on separate blocks. There's a method to it. And then you carve out the areas that you don't want to print, and then what's left is the raised area, and that's what gets the ink on it. And you put the paper on the different blocks, and the different blocks have different colors. And in the end, you have a multiple block, multiple color print. Now, what makes the Japanese process so different from the Western are the materials that are used. All of the materials in the Japanese process are very specific. The inks are all water-based, so that's earth-friendly, so to speak. The paper is very specific. It's handmade. The way that you press the paper down into the block is with a handmade burnishing tool called the Baron. And these are all materials that were used. They're the same. It's the same process as materials and tools that have been used for 400 or 500 years. Japan, so I really liked all of, you know, the history and all of the low-tech qualities about it.
Yeah, it is something you probably could have done a very long time ago. The tools, they haven't changed so much over all those years?
No, the tools have not changed at all.
Wow.
You could actually be using the same tools, except they do wear down from sharpening.
Yeah,
They get shorter when you sharpen them. So.
But otherwise, it's kind of an ancient art then.
Yes, it's an ancient art form, and all of the tools are pretty much the same.
Is there a specific type of wood that you use, or how do you get the wood?
Everything that I can get for this process, fortunately, I can get online. And I get about half of my materials from a Japanese website, and they're shipped to me from Japan. And the other half I can get from an American company. They're based in Portland, Oregon, and they're like an import company. You asked about the wood. Originally, in Japan, the wood was all cherry wood, but now that's become endangered, so to speak.
Yeah.
Hard to come by.
Yeah.
Besides that, it's really difficult to carve.
It's harder, isn't
it? It's very hard.
Yeah.
And
which I guess in the longer would make it more durable, but it's harder to work with, I would think.
Right. No. Yeah. I could go into the long history of cherry wood and why that's good. For the kind of printmaking they were making in Japan a few hundred years ago, it was more mass production. And so there were many, many hundreds, if not thousands, of prints made off of these blocks.
So it would last longer?
Yeah, and you could get a lot of detail.
Okay.
But for what I do, I mean, I'm not going to make hundreds of prints. It's way too much work. In any case, the cherry wood is endangered, and it's hard to carve. And so there's an alternative. I didn't invent it, but, I mean, I didn't come up with this. The people in the industry came up with it, I don't know how long, probably a couple decades ago or more. It's a plywood made out of the linden tree. It's called Shina plywood. It comes from Japan also. But it's easy to carve, and it has a fine grain.
Ah.
And it works out very nicely, so I use the Shina plywood. The Shina plywood is not primitive. It's manufactured, especially for this technique.
Yeah, yeah. I had this concept of Mary going into the woods with chopping down a tree and working through the wood. You've done some wonderful residencies. I was looking at your blog, too. There was one that was not from too long ago in the Sitka campus.
Right.
So talk about some of these residencies you've done and how important it is for someone like you in your art to get out there, not just look at a picture, but to get out there and be in that landscape.
So I've been doing this for about, 20 years or so. And I've been trying to, you know, keep growing. And I just thought in order to keep growing, I have to get further and further away from home.
Just a different landscape? Or?
Yeah, different landscape, different audience, different people. I showed, like, for instance, I would show my Sleeping Bear Dunes prints. They're really popular in Michigan, but nowhere else. So
really?
Well,
that surprises me.
It's very specific to this area.
True, but water, sand, dunes.
Right. Well, that's a generalization. But in any case,
yeah.
I just wanted to, I thought it was important to go outside of this region. So I started looking at different residencies. And I was very happy to get a residency on the coast of Oregon because I love the coast of Oregon anyway.
It is. I've been out there. It's different than others. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm working on a series of prints about the coast of Oregon, and I'm very excited about it.
I am too. That's probably one of the more beautiful places I visited in my lifetime.
I love it.
With the big boulders, and it's different than other shorelines.
Right. It is a lot of what I'm interested in, but it's just at a much grander scale.
So when you're looking for something or something finds you, is it usually large shapes or geometric shapes, or what catches your eye?
That's a good question.
Is it a mood?
It kind of depends on the story that I want to tell.
Okay.
So, like, for instance, I'm doing four in a series on the Japanese garden, and it's a story about the seasons.
Ah, okay.
I'm doing this. I have a series on the boreal north that is about the sun and the moon.
So do you sometimes have a story in mind and then seek the image, or that varies?
It varies.
Yeah.
It varies. But I used to work in series of 10, but now I'm working in series of 4 because I think that that's probably a big enough chunk to work on. Sometimes I can set my goals higher than what I can achieve. So if I set them littler goals, that's easier to achieve.
Yeah.
And I feel better.
As someone who is so connected to the natural world in your art, and you've been doing this, you said, for 20 years, you must have seen changes in that natural world. How do you view our relationship as human beings to the earth and how that's changing over time? Are you seeing changes? Do you see changes in yourself on how you relate to the natural world?
I think that my relationship with the natural world has pretty much been unaffected over time. My artwork is not political.
I didn't mean it in a political sense, though. But the earth is changing, and we change as people. Like you said, you're always growing.
Right.
And maybe how we see it as a child, it may be different than how we see it in midlife or later in life than that.
I guess I wonder. Always look for that thrill, like what thrills me or even what scares me. So, and that's about my relationship with the natural world.
So that look, that sense of awe.
Right.
When you say something scares you, what's that?
Well, like swimming in deep water is really scary. So I tend to want to do that because it's so scary, but I know, you know, nothing's going to happen to me.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Okay. So
I'm kind of attracted to things that give me that thrill or even that might seem scary to me.
Yeah.
I don't know that my artwork is always about that thrill, but that's definitely what I seek.
That's interesting. I'm going to have to look at your art a second time knowing that. For me, the work that I've seen and that, as I said to you earlier, your work is recognizable. I've been looking at it for years, even before I attached a name to it. For me, it brings me a sense of peace and comfort and, you know, the place I go to heal. So it's interesting now what you're saying. I have to look at it again and see if I can see that.
Right. I think most people do say what you just said, that they find, you know, my artwork serene. And I think that that's the problem solving for me is to make it calm.
Do you have to conquer a scene to portray it, or you just portray it?
Well, I will say that a lot of the scenes that I portray are really hard to get to.
I was wondering about that.
So,
do you hike? Or?
Yeah, a lot of hiking is involved, sometimes being on a boat or a canoe. Very often they're really hard to get to. And sometimes I need help getting there.
So wilderness treks,
yeah,
just to see.
Exactly, exactly.
Oh.
So maybe that's part of what I think is thrilling.
So, the thrill may be in getting there, and then when you portray it, it's a scene of serenity. Okay, that makes sense. I'm going to look at your work with a whole different level of understanding now. So tell us about some of those journeys. Where have you been and some of those exciting wilderness treks and some of your favorite places?
Probably the most exotic and kind of daring trip was a sailing trip around Lake Superior. I didn't go the whole way myself, but it was in 2001. And Fritz Seeger was the captain of a boat, and he hosted a group of artists to sail around Lake Superior. And that was probably the most thrilling of all my trips.
I bet. I've always felt that Superior is Superior,
right,
as far as the Great Lakes go. The most beautiful. Oh, I envy you that. So where can someone find your work if they want to either just view it or buy it?
I have most of my work posted on my website, marybrodbeck.com. And Good Goods in Saugatuck, Michigan has they have the most work there of anybody outside of my studio.
That's probably one of the places I've seen it, yeah.
And they're open 7 days a week, and you don't need an appointment. But you could also contact me if you're interested. And Water Street Gallery has two pieces, one in their downtown location on Water Street and one at their Oakland coffee shop.
And you have greeting cards as well, don't you?
Yes, I have art cards. They're for sale at the KIA
the
gallery
shop. Yeah,
yeah. And Water Street Gallery also has them at their shop. Water Street Coffee Joint has them at their shop.
Any events? You also teach classes? Anything like that coming up that you want to mention?
I have an exhibition at Saginaw Valley State University that starts on February 21st and lasts for a month. And I have, I'm teaching a weekend workshop at Chicago Printmakers Collaborative on the second weekend in April. And I'm teaching a week-long class at Sierra Nevada College on the shores of Lake Tahoe.
Oh, nice.
The last week of June. And all the information is available on my website.